receive and give unto you. Father, I thank you that when we come into your presence, you speak not just to our circumstance, but you speak to our spirit. You speak to our soul and begin to give life where there was once death. You begin to give water where we were once dry. That the circumstance of our life begins to change every time we're in your presence. So, Father, we just give you praise and honor and glory to your name, Lord, for allowing us to spend time with you. And, Lord, I just thank you that as a people we grow stronger in you, God, so that you receive glory. Lord, I just give you praise. I give you honor, Lord. I give you praise, Lord. As the Israelites were walking around Jericho, nothing changed. Nothing changed. And as they continued to walk around this wall that was fortified, and it was high, and the archers were above looking down, mocking them, looking at them like if they were fools. Many times we as a people of God have been mocked, ridiculed, laughed at, talked about, pushed aside, and overlooked. But there's something deep inside of every believer that is the same power that raised Jesus from the grave. And that power that resides in each and every one of us is the power that brought down the wall of Jericho. And it was a shout out of a command from the Lord. You shout before the wall comes down. It's a prophetic statement to the people of God. You better get your shout on, for your victory is coming unto you. You better get your shout on, because your victory is at hand. You have been gone through some things. You may have people come against you, but your victory is in the Lord. And it's in your shout. Watch this. Oh, I hear that by the Spirit of the living God. See, ding, the line went out and I heard it. Watch. What did the prophet say? I hear the abundance of rain. He said, I didn't hear rain. What did he hear? Abundance. Yeah. What did he say, James? He said, I hear
the abundance.
Coming.
Yes.
What was the word that he heard? Abundance. I don't like the lights either. So it looks like we got to say cheese. Abundance. Do you hear? Watch this. Y'all mess me up when we get in worship like this. Look. Watch. This is what happened. God spoke when he created the heavens and the earth, did he not? He spoke. But when he created man, what did he do? Before you can breathe, baby, you have to touch with your hand. How is it that he can create everything, even the animals, with a spoken word? Watch this. When it comes to man, his hand has to get in. I don't know what it is, but the hand of God has to come down. But before he created man, he reached down to what? The dirt. And that's a prophetic statement. You can't go too low. Then he can't get to your circumstance and bring about a change. He spoke everything else into existence, but he came down to man. But man still didn't have life in it until... Now, I ain't going to get in your face. Watch this. until he got into the face of man that he breathed life. How is it that the prophet of God that caused the drought on the earth now says, I hear abundance? Watch this. I'm getting you somewhere. You may be in a little deficit, what we call lack. You may be in a little bit of something that you ain't got enough of. You may have a little bit more month than you do your money. You may have a little bit more bills than you have resources. But all of a sudden you may hear a sound. I've been saying it since 2013. I hear a sound. And it's above the mulberry trees. There's a rustling of the wind that is rustling now all of the leaves. There's a sound that precedes a manifestation. I can tell you to get you all excited, get you shouting, running around this church and say, I hear abundance. But that ain't what I'm hearing. I'm hearing healing, restoration, and realignment. Woo-wee! I have been dealing with this backache for about 6 months. It won't go away. Y'all don't know the kind of pain I've been in. Woo, I go home, I got to lay myself down for a little bit. I said, God, what is going on with this? I am the righteousness of God. I am a son of God. And I am doing the will and purpose for my life. Why do I have pain in my body? Why do I have a deficit in my finances? He says, baby, I'm about to turn things around for my people. I need somebody to just stand in the gap. And when you can stand in the gap, I can make a turnaround blessing. I can bring healing, I can bring restoration, and I can bring realignment to my body. I just need a few folks to understand what I'm saying. Get into position to get what's yours. All of a sudden, hey, pop, 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 hey. Things just start kind of getting into place. When things get into position, pain begins to be moved away. And when pain is moved away, there's growth. But in the growing process, there's pain. And I said this before, pain is purposed for your destiny. And I've been feeling God so strong. You know how much I love coffee, girl. I love coffee so much. Oh. Tonight I said, I got to have me a cup of coffee. I went back there. I turned on my machine. He said, don't you do it. I'm not. Then the door opened. And it scared the, you know, out of me. And I said, oh, my wife came in. Okay. I got accountability now. I ain't going to touch you. I ain't going to touch you. He said, if you just give me a sacrifice that is at your heart, I'll give you what's in my hand. I'll give you what's in my hand. We prophesied 2013, the camels are coming, camels are coming, camels are coming. But what we did not say is that we didn't say they were loaded down. We needed to hear a sound of what God was saying before we declare. Many name and proclaim, and they touch and agree. They get a little goosebump. That was the Lord. And it doesn't manifest. It wasn't the Lord. I'm talking about me, baby. I'm just talking about me. Lord, I shonda every Honda that I can find. And I'm making sure I'm getting all mine. Ain't nothing manifest.
You ever done that, Daniel? This is my truck. I just claim it right now in the name of Jesus. And then your truck break down. You ever had that? Yeah. This is my house, baby. You're going to get a house. But this is my house. Let me stay right here. What's your name? What's your name? What's that? That's a beautiful, Zekalia, right? I said it right? Beautiful name. When I touched your shoulder, I felt an increase. Felt an increase, a larging of tent, a larging of territory, an increase. God says, I'm going to fill what was once. See, you weren't emptied. You've been emptying yourself to others, but you haven't been completely emptied. And he's about to fill you with the desire that he's already shown you. I've seen an increase, an increase, an increase. You've been pulling and pulling and pulling. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But every time you pull, I feel them pulling back at you. They've been pulling you back, pulling you back, and pulling you back. Just keep on going. But you're going to pull some people out of where they used to be. Just keep on going. You got a lot of pressure on you. You got a lot of people pulling on you. You got a lot of people believing and waiting on you. They're waiting on you. Waiting on you. Just get out and do. Just get out and do. Because when you get out and do, you'll bring a lot more people with you. They may be riding your coattail, but not everybody's going to go where you need to go. But the people that need to go with you are going to go with you. Just get there. There's an enlarging of territory. Enlarging of territory. Yeah, I see a building. Chairs. There's an enlarging. Let it take place and let it take root. Because God has a plan. A plan. Has a plan. Has a plan. Let's get on. Let's just get on. A sound. A sound. I hear a sound. See? Sound. Oh, you hear a sound. When you hear a sound, you're going to hear a sound real good. There's a sound. For some of my folks that were here last week, and y'all, you show up, and all of a sudden, church is turned back around. You're like, well, amen. Amen. I heard some people say, I got my corner back. Yeah. And my son told me, it feels like home. Feels like home. I said, Lord, it does. It feels good. Why did we change it the other way? He says, because sometimes change is good. Sometimes the irritation causes a wonderful thing called a pearl. See, a pearl is nothing but a speck of dirt. That found its way in a hard place that was shut. It was a hard place that was shut. It was just a speck of dirt. But all the irritation began to create something that was beautiful. They call it the luster of a pearl. But it all took place just because a speck of dirt came in a hard place. And in the hard place, things begin to form. I call that the mercy and grace of God. That even through the irritation, begins to work inside of you to create what was already there. And it's polished. But not everybody can see it in the process. Sometimes you feel like you're alone. You felt like you're alone, like you once stuck in dirt. But in that process, God is making you something beautiful. But if you open it up before it's time, in the middle of the process, it's still just a speck of dirt. The irritation that begins to create a beautiful instrument of God that is polished, and sometimes they call it the mother of pearl. Have you been irritated a little bit? Has your circumstance gotten you irritated? Huh. Has there a certain someone gotten on your last nerve? That's the one. That's the one that's going to polish you up. Do you ever wonder why some of the things that you rebuke don't go away? Oh, it's not just me? Oh, it happens to y'all. Okay. So when you're rebuking and rebuking and it don't go away, and it seems to intensify, the irritation is there to beautify. Your pain in your heart is about to come to an end. You'll never be mistreated again. You'll never be taken advantage of again either. You have a wonderful heart that you give, give, and give, and you're taking advantage. And your relationship that God wants for you is someone that loves you, cares for you, and honors you. And without honor, there is no love. That is coming to an end. Beloved, if you would just see yourself through this irritating process, you're coming out better than when you started. Your season, we could all say it, everybody say, yeah, it's me. It's been up and down. But you've had more downs than up. But there's momentum coming in your favor. Momentum. Let that momentum carry you. And the ones that get around you, you got a lot of negative talk. A lot of people dump on you because you give ear, because you got a good heart to listen. But if you don't release that junk, you're going to think it's yours. And it's not. You're a good person. And there's a lot of great people on this earth. A lot of great people that take on a lot of responsibilities they shouldn't be carrying. Now let God guide you through this process. But I feel your heart being healed and renewed and restored. God bless you. Bless you. And we'll get into a little bit of summer feeling. Because I'm tired of this winter. I want you to go back with me a little bit here. Do you remember when it would be hot outside and right before the sun was about to go down, you would hear something in the trees begin to make its noise? And we would call them chicharras. Others call them cicadas, locusts. But I hear, watch this, I hear the rustling of the trees. For once was once there to bring about so much despair is now being removed off the trees. And trees, the wood, always represent humanity. I hear a sound. And that sound is God saying, I'm removing what has been irritating you. What has had you weary, tired, and to the point of unbelief. I'm going to remove it. And the sound of the wind that is coming is removing what was once latched on. See, because I used to go and run and catch those things on the trees. You make your little hand like this and you go up and catch them and you get them and you just shake them and shake them and shake them. I mean, you shake them gently and you know, and they would make noises. You know, y'all ever did that? Or just me? And then, okay, just me, I guess. Just the boys. But what would happen is they would die on the tree. And I used to see that on the trees there'd be a lot of dead shells. So how does that come off? Then the wind would come. And it would blow it off. But it seems like what I was seeing is that God says a lot of dead things have rested on you. A lot of dead things have just kind of rested, latched onto you and just there.
And because it doesn't weigh, it doesn't bite, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything to you. The locusts, these locusts, the cicadas don't eat nothing. The only thing they come to do is just birth another, and die. That's it. And it's only for a short season. And when they get up on the trees, they die in the trees, and that's all you see is just shells. They don't do anything to you, or they're not a benefit to you. But what I do find out is that we get so used to them being latched onto us that we don't shake them off. And it becomes a part of our life, a part of our walk, and a part of what we believe in, is that it's something that was once there, that God allowed it to be there, and we're not going to take it off. But I hear that the trees are moving, and the sound will change. The irritation is being removed. We've been irritated by the enemy. We've been irritated by us. And God's allowed it. Well, my God don't allow anything. Yes, He allows everything. Well, no weapon forms against you shall prosper. Yeah, but He's the one that He gave the coals, the fire, and He made it grow, and He gave the metal. He allowed it to be formed. He didn't say it was going to prosper over you. They're going to come. But be of good cheer, for He's overcome the world. Amen. People think that God won't allow things in your life. No, He does. And I know what He's going to do is teach us something new and fresh. Something that we can't hold on to and say, oh, I remember when this. Or I remember how it used to. No, this is something different. It's different. And we need to grab hold of it. And it's hard to grab hold of something you haven't experienced yet. It's hard to. But I do hear a sound. Well, I know that we can use some change in some our health. We can use some change in our bank accounts, change in relationship, change in church, change in leadership of the city. Woo. I hope you guys are praying for the city. Because there's a vote about to go into place tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock that they're gonna give finances to clinics for abortions for the underprivileged, and it's for children, young teenagers, that they don't need parents' approval. That's going tomorrow up for vote at city council. What have we gotten ourselves into in the government? What have we gotten ourselves into? We're allowing for society to tell us how to govern our city. And I look at society and say, society, you ain't got it all together yet. Matter of fact, it starts here in the church. You can't govern a city if your churches are out of order. People are looking for a safe place to go. But when they go to church, they're not feeling that it's a safe place. Or you got people preaching heresy at the pulpit. And all they're doing is preaching something that they're not living. And people can see that right away. They can see it right away. How come the divorce rate is so high in the church? In the church? The church? It just gets me. It gets me. But we need to understand that God is calling us as a people of God to pray, to fast, and to be on our face for the city and for our government. For the leaders of the churches, so that we can see change. Every single revival in history, guess what it started with? Prayer. Intercessory prayer. They began to pray in Oklahoma for a revival, and it broke loose in Azusa. You may pray for one city to have revival, but God so chooses where to land that revival. You can't plan just because you got a banner that says revival meeting. That's not revival. I believe by faith that the sound that I'm hearing is an awakening for the body of Christ. And when you have an awakening, you can have revival. When you have revival, there's a transformation and a change of a people, a territory, and a region. And it starts in the church. We've got to refocus what we're doing in churches. We've got visitors here, and I'm sure you worship at other houses. We have to put our focus on the will of God. What He wants for this city. What He wants for this city may be different for somebody else's city. God knows everything. And we need to be able to go before the throne of God, pray, and intercede for an outpouring of His Spirit. And once the church can be in its position, we can see many people's lives changed. Many. Amen? So, I exhort you, pray for the city. Pray for the local churches. That we're all moving in the direction up. Amen? Hallelujah. God is good. And all the time. Amen. I want you to get your Bibles, if you would, please. I want to share something with you that I believe that God has been speaking. And I'm just going to share a few minutes. I wanted to do mainly praise and worship so we could worship into the Lord and give Him our time. We were at the grocery store just the other day, and how many of you do this? When you go down the bread aisle, you squeeze the bread. Y'all do that? Yeah, you know, go by there and just squeeze. If it's soft, oh, that's good. If it's just a little bit on the rough side, that ain't the one. So what we do is we go pull the ones in the front, pull them out, and go to the ones in the back because those are the fresher ones. And then you see, I was in the grocery store, and I saw everybody going by there and just. And then it reminded me of don't squeeze the Charmin. Remember that commercial? Don't squeeze the Charmin, the toilet paper. But when I began to see that, I was like, I wonder what their bread is bread. If it's bad, just put it in toaster, I guess. I don't know. But if we can walk down the aisle just to select some bread to see if it's fresh. Should we not be checking on ourselves to see if we're fresh? Should we not be checking on the churches to see if they're fresh? Should we not be just kind of holding people accountable to see if they're fresh or they're stale? If we do that just for a piece of bread, I think we need to do that for some other things in our life. I want you to get in your Bibles, if you would, please, and go to 2 Kings 2. 2 Kings 2, and this, we're going to read, all right? Is it all right if we read? You know, it is the Bible, so it's okay if we read the Bible? Just making sure we're in the right place. When you're there, say amen. 2 Kings 2, I'm going to read out of the God's Word translation. When the Lord was going to take Elijah to heaven in a windstorm, Elijah and Elisha left Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Please stay here because the Lord is sending me to Bethel." Elisha answered, "I solemnly swear, as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not abandon you." Strong statement. We can't even get people today to stay faithful. Well, you know, wind comes, they take off. It's all right. So they went to Bethel. Some of the disciples of the prophets at Bethel came to Elisha. They asked him, "Do you know the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" He answered, "Yes, I know. Be quiet." You know, some of those people, they irritate you. They know it all. And sometimes you just want to say, "Shut the front door." You don't think I know? Right? I've been following this man. You don't think I know? He just so happened to be in our vicinity for just 1 minute, and you're going to tell me everything. You know, you get people like that. So, you know, be quiet. Elijah said, Elisha, please stay here because the Lord is sending me to Jericho. Elisha answered, I solemnly swear, as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not abandon you. So they went to Jericho. Then some of the disciples of the prophets who were in Jericho approached Elisha. They asked, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? He answered, yes, I know. Be quiet. Elijah said to Elisha, please stay here because the Lord is sending me to the Jordan River. Elisha answered, I solemnly swear, as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not abandon you. 50 disciples of the prophets stood at the distance as Elijah and Elisha stood by the Jordan River. Elijah took his coat, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the left and to the right, and the two men crossed the river on dry ground. While they were crossing, Elijah asked Elisha, what should I do for you before I'm taken from you? Before I even go any further, this will preach all by itself. I just want to ask you something. Have you ever followed somebody for some time? And as you're following them, they kind of want to tell you, hey, just stay here, just stay here. I got to go over here, just stay here. Okay, I'll be right back. Stay here. And then I told you to stay here. Okay. Well, what are you doing? I've been telling you, just stay here. But out of his mouth, he gives a declaration, as long as you live, I swear to the Lord, I am going to be with you. I'll never leave you. Well, you know Elijah probably said, really? What's this? You would think that he was progressing in his walk. This is what he did. The Lord has called me, and you got to stay here. So he goes this way. Watch. So he follows, right? Then he says, well, the Lord called me to Jordan. I haven't gone really anywhere. I just kind of zigzag. Not making any progression to test whether or not what you're stating out of your mouth is to be true. And these walks were not short walks. You don't know when you're going to get your blessing. You don't know when you're going to get some fresh bread. You don't know if you're ever going to get some fresh bread. All you know, you're getting someone telling you, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go with you. I don't want you with me. But remember when I came over to your house, well, you were in the field, you were messing around with all those oxen. I just threw my cloak on you and you just, why? I didn't ask for this. You've been following me everywhere. You've been doing everything with me. I'm just getting a little irritated with you. Follow along. You didn't know, that's not in your Bible that way? Whatever you felt like sometimes, if we could just get faithful servants of God just to do whatever they were told to do by God and what's in their heart to follow after the ones that's leading.
Amen.
Y'all should have shouted there, but y'all don't like that one. You've been following someone, and they don't make any sense sometimes on what they're doing. They get you to the Jordan. Now they come to the Jordan, and you know Elisha's just there like, what you going to do now, huh? What are you going to do now? How are we going to get over? You know you're thinking, because a lot of this stuff ain't written in the Bible. You get there to a place, now you're like, how are we getting over? So Elisha's probably like, okay, I'm following this dude, and this dude's telling me stay here, go there, stay here. I know I got to follow. There's something inside of me that says follow. Even when the one you're following may not want you to follow. Watch this. It's a test to become a testimony. But because what was in his heart, he followed. Now we all know the story. Y'all read it all the time. Everybody prophesies about it. You're getting your double portion. You're getting your double portion. You're going to get a double portion, or you're going to cost you double the trouble? Yeah. And it's going to cost you double the distance. Double the ridicule and double of your faithfulness. You don't just get it just to get it.
You got to walk some things out. So now, so I can just, hey, I like that one. Walk it out. So we get now to the Jordan River, and Elijah takes off his mantle, his coat, and strikes the water. So I can paraphrase instead of reading all of it to you. So they get over on the other side. Then watch this. Oh, I'll read that part to you. Watch this. When he says right here in verse 9, while they were crossing, Elijah asked Elisha, "What should I do for you before I'm taken away?" Watch this. Had they crossed over yet? No, in the process of transition, in the middle of the river. Hey, by the way, what would you like for me to give to you before I'm about to be taken away with the Lord? And he asked for the double. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Your transitional phases sometimes are going to be a while. And as long as you're following after God, you may be in that transitional phase. And he asks you the question in your transition. But if you miss the question in the transition, you'll miss the opportunity to make your petition. He could have asked him when he got to the other side. But he asked him in the middle of the transition. The Jordan is always representative of the transition. It's transitional. He asked him in the middle while they're crossing. If he would have missed that, he would have never got his double portion. If he'd have went back there, he would have never got his double portion. In the middle of transition, you've got to have your ear inclined to God so you can hear and he say, "What do you want?" And you can make your petition before God. But if you're not listening, you're not going to hear that opportunity when the opportunity comes. He wants a double portion. What does it say? You've asked for a hard thing. Get to the other side. If you watch me when I'm taken up. If you watch me while I'm taken up. If you just watch me. And don't take your eyes off of me. Don't take your eyes off of me. Then you can have your double portion. Wait a minute. Now, you know, as a young man, Elisha, thinking, "I've been following you. I've had my eyes on you. I don't quite understand you, but I follow you. And now that where I'm at now, you're going to tell me I got to watch you?" Why was he telling him that? Because when the chariots came down. I don't know about you, but he would have told me, "You got to watch me. If I see chariots, wow." Oh, man, I missed it. Even a God thing can be a distraction to you. Yeah, I don't want to hear this. Even a God demonstration of his power and his glory and his might can be a distraction to you, even though it's his demonstration. Because he didn't say, if you just watch the demonstration of God, you'll get it. No, sometimes God is pouring out in some places and everybody wants to get there, but that's not where God told you to get. Get back to where he told you to be, and you can be able to see the manifestation for your life. Sometimes. A manifestation of God is a distraction for your destiny. I done seen it too many times. I've seen it so many times. I've seen people prophesy the paint off the walls and tell you your doctor and tell you where you live and tell you your age and tell you your driver's license number, and they follow after that, and that ain't following God. That's following a manifestation of God. And when you follow a manifestation of God, the manifestation fades away. Because what happened to that manifestation? It didn't stay. It went up. Watch this. The manifestation is only to give God glory. Keep your eyes focused on what God said for you to do. So the man of God said, "You're about to see something going to blow your mind away. Your wig about to fall off a little bit. Your earrings about to come off. Your eyelashes about to come off. And you're about to lose everything that you even thought was right. And when that happens, you better watch me." What was Elijah depicting? You always keep your eyes on God. Never the manifestation. Because when you keep your eyes on God, He'll use manifestation through you. Watch this. Watch. So what did Elisha do? Elisha stayed. Here comes the chariot. In other words, I don't want to see the chariot. I'm just going to keep my eyes. Keep my eyes. I'm going to keep my eyes on you. I got it, Elijah. I'm locked. It's getting a little low. Now I got to get a little bit lower now. I got to make sure that I can see you. I don't care about all this distraction. I don't want to see the fire. I can feel the heat, but I can hear the noise, but I just got to keep my eyes on you. And as you go up, I see something falling. And as it's falling, in the process of that, Elisha rips off his clothes. What does that depict? I'm removing the old to grab hold of the new. I can't even be identified with my old self anymore. Y'all don't want to hear. Y'all need to wake up. He's saying, I see that thing coming down, and before I grab it, I got to get rid of some junk off of me. I got to take it off, and as I take it off, I'm going to go get me that cloak, and I'm going to put it on me. Y'all going to miss this one. You're going to miss it. I know you're going to miss it. I missed it for so many years reading it. He grabs that thing, he's naked. He's butt naked. Puts on that cloak, right? Turns around. Well, who was on the other side of the Jordan? Those snot-nosed prophets, little kids, whatever. Okay, watch this, watch this. How come they weren't selected, right? That's what I say. Because they were in training? Because they just wanted to be called prophets? I'll just leave it alone. But he picks up their clothes. He was naked when he picked it up, wasn't he not? Watch this. In front of those watching, he removes that same coat, the covering. And being vulnerable in the sight of others, what is it called? They called it when I was reading it, the disciples. Takes off the coat and remains naked and then strikes the water with it. Crosses over the same river that his predecessor did. When he crosses over, he's crossing over bare naked before the disciples. Kind of reminds me when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, he took off the towel, his clothes, and wiped their feet naked. In order for us to ever get beyond this whole realm of look at me, I've got to be this, I've got to be that, give me a title for this, give me an office here, and I've got to make sure I have my business cards, my website, and then I'm ready to go. You ain't ready to do nothing if you're thinking about that. You first got to come in naked into your call, and then you're going to be able to clothe yourself with the glory of God. And when God says get naked before others to see that it's not you, it's me that's on you. Then I'll display my glory through you. I just did a demonstration on Sunday. What is the best tool to use? The empty bag. The empty vessel. They get to the other side. There's those little snot-nosed prophets, supposedly prophets. Where do you go? Read it. Should we go look for him? Should we go look for him? Maybe he went to go see God. And he went to go pray. How is it you knew he was going to be taken, but now you're telling me where'd he go? Didn't I just tell you, manifestation of God will fade. They were the ones telling him, don't you know that today he's going to be taken? The same 50 were telling him, don't you know they're going to be taken? Where is he? The same ones. So he tries to tell them as young prophets, young disciples, don't go looking for. And they insisted, go on, go look then. Y'all's Bible don't read like mine. So they go looking. 3 days later, they come back. He can't find them. Read what it says. I told you so. Don't you sometimes wish you could just say that to somebody? I done told you so. Whew. I love it. I love it. Now, the point of my message I'm getting to now. Watch this. Watch. I want you to go down to verse 19, please. Verse 19. I just paraphrased that story for you. Verse 19 reads in this wise. The people of the city of Jericho told Elisha, the city's location is as good as you will ever find. But the water is bad and the land cannot grow crops. You read that? Then how's the land good? How is the land good if the water is bad and the crops won't grow? Kind of how it is today. We got everything that looks good and looks right and looks like God, but denies the power of. Just because it looks like it's a 3,000-seat sanctuary that there's God moving in there, and just because they got six services on a Sunday, don't make it seem like it's just all God. Sometimes it's a seeker-friendly church to get people there because they're friendly. But you ain't getting challenged, so you ain't growing. Every now and then there's some good teaching there that you grow once you apply it to you. Once you apply any kind of food into your body, you're going to grow. That don't mean you're going to grow good. You may just grow. I found out the hard way. Enlarge your tent. I sure did, God. I done widened myself. Get back. Just get back. Watch this. Verse 20. Elisha said, bring me a new jar. Say new jar. And your renditions probably say cistern, right? Bowls. Bowl. Empty that thing right there, Michael. I'll tell you what. First, bring it to me like that. The basket. Watch this. Is that empty?
No.
Oh, so there's something in it?
Yes.
Empty it. This represents you. You. You must come empty before the Lord to be used in any way, shape, or form. If you're not empty of you and you got just a little bit of Tambourine Tammy in here. If you have Tambourine Tammy in here, just wants to be heard, wants to be seen, you ain't going to be used. You're going to act like you got the Holy Ghost. You're going to act like you've been touched by the unction of the Spirit, but you ain't going to flow in any kind of power. You're going to want to be heard through your prayer. You're going to want everybody to hear, ooh, she can pray. And so can the devil. But you're going to see no demonstration of power until you empty of yourself. And if we empty ourselves, watch this. He calls from the brink. Now, this pretend this is a bucket, or a bowl, or a cistern, a vessel, a jar. Watch. So he says, bring me the new jar. It's a jar. Bring me the new jar. And what did he say to put in it?
Salt.
We're going to put a little bit of salt in that. And then I'm going to put some water in here. Put some water and some salt together. And y'all going to be all right.
Come on.
Does it make any sense to you that how the River Jordan was something that they were using to baptize people? It was something that caused a king to go dip seven times to get healed. The Jordan is always representative of transition, change, and a place where God will demonstrate. In order for us to see God move, be empty, so he can pour in. And then what he puts in there is just salt. But he made us all salt of the earth. And the salt will always represent what God has called us to be. A unified body in agreement with the Holy Spirit. Put into the water. And this is what it reads right here. Look, watch. This is what it says. They brought it to him and he went to the spring and threw the salt into it. And then he said, this is what the Lord says. I have purified this water. No more deaths or crop failures will come from this water. To this day, the water is still pure. Have you wondered why some of the things haven't manifested in your life that you've been going, you can pick up. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Maybe something needs to be purified. Maybe something needs to go through a process to be cleansed.
Maybe you need to go through a cleansing to get healing. Maybe you need to go through a cleansing, be purified and been removed of some things so that you can get some healing. And that healing can be in relationships, it can be in finances, it can be in your ministry, it can be in your home. But God has to put something in, but first he says, bring me something new. Bring me something new. Elijah understood bringing something new is because he emptied of himself before he put on the new coat. And when he put on that new cloak, he put that on. And he went out and he did exactly the same steps that his predecessor did. He went through the same steps to the same area, same territories. Exactly what the head did, he followed. If you ever want to get your blessing, follow your head. And I ain't talking about the one that's on your neck. Follow the authority that God has put in your life. When you follow the authority that God has placed in your life, you will begin to see manifestation of what God said he was going to do. But many people want to circumvent that process and get out and do their own thing and get out of alignment. And now they're going to miss what God had for them. They've got to get into position. The transition may be a long time. You may be waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And then waiting some more. And then along in that waiting process, somebody else is going to show up. And they're going to wait too. Waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And in that process, maybe somebody else is going to show up. Waiting and waiting and, thank you, Jesus, waiting and waiting and waiting. But in that waiting process, watch this. Those that know how to wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and shall mount up as wings of eagle and soar. Amen. Woo. Have you been waiting for your breakthrough? Have you been waiting for something to break through? Have you been waiting for something to come into play in your life that hasn't even moved in your direction? Are you waiting for something? Huh? Have you been waiting and tarrying and tarrying and tarrying and nothing comes to pass? In that waiting process, something has to be emptied in that process. Doubt and unbelief has to go. Even in the waiting process of nothing manifesting, doubt and unbelief begins to be emptied. And as it's being emptied in the waiting process, all of a sudden comes somebody else in that waiting process. Go ahead, Sylvie, go up there. Go ahead, girl, get up there. When you were once standing by yourself waiting for something to manifest, you're no longer by yourself. There's others in the body of Christ standing to receive what God has promised them. May not be the same thing you were asking for, but you're not alone in the waiting process. And in this waiting process, you can lock arms, draw strength, and agreement together. If we're going to wait, we're going to tarry together. And if we've got to step on each other's toes every now and then, it's only going to make us grow together as one. Because every time I want to leave, you're going to pull me back. This is just too hard. I quit. I don't want to do no more. I'm tired of this. I feel like I'm all alone. Okay, I'm not alone, but God, you got to come through. I can't do this by myself. He says, if you would just open your eyes and look around, I have surrounded you with people just like you, going through the same thing for a different reason, but they're waiting just like you. He says, I had you when I made you go into the cave. You first entered in alone. It was dark. It was stinky. And you were all alone. And when you were in that cave, you felt like your world had come to an end because everything else had crumbled around you. You had lost so much. And you felt like giving up. And the cave was not a place that you could just find so easily. You had to look for it. He said, but I called unto you men of like spirit, like mind and like anointing.
that could share in the same thing that you're going through, because you're not alone. And he's bringing to you a people that will stand with you, so that you won't stand by yourself. And you won't be alone. You'll have someone to encourage you, even when they need encouraging. Have you ever been in a place in your life where you've been encouraging so many people, but who's encouraging you? We need the encouragement, even when we're waiting. And if even we don't see a manifestation just yet, you're not alone. There's somebody else carrying with you and waiting with you. Don't ever think that you're alone. But we ain't letting go. We're going to fight for you. And as together as a body of Christ, we will fight for the things of God, for your life. It may not make any sense to you why you waited so long, why you've gone through the suffering for so long, why you had to go through the blows that you took and the ridicule. Read on in the story. There's about 50 children, 40, I think 44 or 50 children started calling him Baldy. And he cursed them. Was it the lions or the tigers, the bears? Oh my. Came out and ate those kids. Sometimes we are the ones that are being made fun of. Oh, you've been professing this and professing that and thanking Jesus. And you're the one just shouting unto God with the voice of triumph, but you ain't triumphed over nothing yet. Haven't you had people just looking at you that way? A lot of times it's churches looking at other churches that way. And the spirit of elitism sets in. You need to come to our church. You need to come to our church. No, we are the church. We just need to be able to get along while we get along. And I'm telling you, you're not alone. We're going to see God come through when he starts to release one and encourages the other. That if I made it through, you're going to make it through. Because you made it through, he'll make it through. Someone down the line, you're going to say, you know what? I remember somebody that I was praying for. And I'm going to bring them through too. So when you look back, watch this. When they left the cave of Adullam with David and his mighty men, the cave remained empty. But transitional phases take place in a dark place. Instructions come and manifestation will come once it enters the spirit of man. When you hear a sound, then you can come out of that dark place and step into that place where God has now called you and led you to go. We can't stop where we're at, and it may be very dark. It may be real stinky. It may get to the point where you can't even see the light of day. But stand. Stand on the word of the Lord that God has given you. Because what God has given you is what you're going to do. It'll manifest in your life. And that is going to be the power of God unto your testimony. That will believe, make believers that were unbelievers. That had given up hope will restore hope. But we first got to empty ourselves. Get rid of the old. Get rid of the stuff that's been on us. And step into something that God has called us to do. When he speaks, we must listen. And not miss the transitional blessing while we're in transition. When he speaks, we've got to hear. And when we hear, we've got to activate. When we activate, we begin to see change. The prophet turned what was stale and what was useless to something fruitful and something that was producing. What is not producing in your life right now is about to produce again. What was once useless is going to become useful. It's not just going to look good, it's going to be good. Amen.
I just want to pray in closing right now. I wanted to just kind of text this message real short with you. And you can read the story and you can get so much out of it to begin with. I just believe that God is saying that if we could just be empty of ourselves, He'll fill us with Him. And we all say, well, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. That's not what He's talking about. That's not what He's talking about. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is great. It's where the dunamis power comes and you can move in signs and wonders. But I believe that what God is saying, I'm going to fill you, first of all, with the knowing knowledge of who I am. To understand my kingdom principles. So you can utilize them in your everyday life. So that you can be taught and become a disciple of the kingdom. But many people think that as long as they know the word, they're disciples and they can go on and do what they want to do. That's not true. Or they'll feel like, if I'm not one of the fivefold, then I'm not in ministry. Your ministry can be a nurse, can be a housewife, can be a teacher, it can be a nanny, it can be a realtor, it can be a barber, a beautician. That could be your call, and you're missing it thinking you got to fall under the fivefold. Your ministry is where God has you. And where He has you, minister. Now do it in love. Not judgment and condemnation. You do it in love. They need to see the God in you. Then they'll come to you. I pray that you have an understanding that God is saying the transitional phases of our life is hard. But He speaks in the middle of transition. And when He speaks, He realigns. He regroups. And He redefines. There's going to be some restoration and healing taking place in the body of Christ. And it's going to come because we've been going through. But before Elisha could ever cross that Jordan, he had to strip everything off again. And then he crossed over. Sometimes it feels like everything that you're going through, everybody's watching you and you feel naked. I don't want anybody to know. No, I want them to know. I want them to see. I need them to see. So that when I bring you out, they'll know who brought you out. And they'll know that they can have faith in a God they can't see. Woo-wee. Simple message. Simple. We read it all the time and we know about the double portion, but before you get a double portion, you're going to have to go through some stuff. And then after you get the double portion, get ready for the double portion of trouble. T.D. Jakes says it this way, you don't know trouble until you become successful. You don't know stress until you become successful. When you didn't have much, you still had problems, right? When you don't have much, you still go through a lot of stuff. Get you something, a little something of prosperity in your life. Yeah, real people come against you. The ones you thought that were there for you are now against you. Not no more. If you just do what God is telling you to do, and in the manner in which He's telling you to do it, you're going to see the hand of God move on your life. You're going to see it. With every eye closed, every head bowed, Father, I just decree over their life, because they have emptied themselves, Lord, unto You, that You fill them, and You fill them with freshness. Fresh oil. Fresh oil, Father, that will illuminate fresh fire. The fresh oil, Lord, is the oil that sustains the fire. And Lord, right now, I just thank You for each and every individual that is represented here today. Thank You that tonight is a night of a turnaround. Whether they're in transition, they hear the word of the Lord in transition, and they can cross over the place of transition for a double portion. They've already said yes to You, God. And because they said yes to You, it has been difficult, it's been trying, and it's been right out hard. And Lord, I just thank You right now for Your grace and Your mercy that is upon their life. But I thank You for the favor of God that brings them out of where they're at and takes them in to where they're supposed to go. Father, I just release this blessing over their lives from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. And I just thank you for each and every one of them, Lord. That when they go back to the places of their houses of worship, Lord, wherever that may be, that there's a sense, Father God, in their spirit to press in even more because others are waiting on them to bring them through. We are all the instruments of God. Now, Lord, I just thank you that you use us for your will, your purpose, and your glory. That we as a people of God can press through, press in, and come in agreement, Father, for a release of your reign, a release of your blessing. And Father, we cry out for revival in this city. A revival that would change a territory, change a mindset, and bring about restoration and healing to a people. That you will receive all honor and glory, Father. That no man shall take your glory. So, Father, I just pray right now, in believing by faith, that you hear the prayers of the righteous, Lord. That we pray for such a release of your fire upon this city, upon this government, and upon the churches all across America, Lord. That you would just release a fervent fire with fervent prayer, Lord, to pierce through the heavens, Lord, and bring forth a revival across this nation, to bring back in order what has been out of order. And Lord, I just thank you right now that it is a new season, it is a new day. And I thank you, Lord, that we can embrace it with you and walk in it together as one. So, Father, I thank you right now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. As Elder Allen was passing out the envelopes for tithe and offering, I want you to continue pray for the city and this government and for the local churches. I want you to also pray for the mission trip. And I say mission, but it's not. We're not going to go do mission work. We're going to go do some apostolic governing in Africa. Pray for the House of Manna, please. Those that have recently came and coming. Pray for the House of Manna, that the House of Manna will receive the resources for me to go. I did speak with Papa Louis the day before yesterday, and he was telling me that the pastors that are going have been, this will be their fourth time going. And he says, Marty, we really want you to go, and I want you to be at peace. The money that you're going to give to this endeavor, and those that sow into this endeavor, it's going to be a greater reward than they can ever imagine. Because they're sowing into a ministry in ministries over there in Africa that are bringing relief, water, first of all, clean wells, water wells, second, orphanages. He says that the women over there that Miss Rita ministers to, is that there's a group of women over there that they're in need of a lot of things. He says that every time that people sow into you just to go, that money is going over there, and those are the women that are going to be preparing the meals. They're going to be helping at the compound. He says, in the transportation, everything, you don't have to worry about nothing once you get here. It's just the getting here. He says, we'll have security guards with us everywhere we go. He says, a lot of people talk about Africa. It's dangerous, dangerous. He goes, it's not any dangerous than like San Antonio. It's the same thing. If it's your time, it's your time. He goes, and my time's not up yet. And I know for sure mine ain't up either. He said, but I wanted you to encourage your people that they're going to sow into signs and wonders. He says, we have seen blind eyes open, deaf ears unplugged. We have seen people that have been without limbs get up and have courage to move about where before they didn't. He says, then I've seen people that we have prayed for while in wheelchairs get up and walk. He says, you're sowing into a supernatural realm. I said, well, that's why I want to go. He says, well, just tell your people that they're sowing into that soil. So, amen. I want to go. I'm going to go. See you on Saturday. I want to make a quick announcement before you leave. This Saturday, I don't know if you saw on the overhead, we have a nutritionist that will be here. He's using the church as a facility to do, it's called Take Back Your Health. And he's going to discuss some things about nutrition and stuff. He's been able to reverse cancer, diabetes, arthritis, all through natural remedies and healing and stuff like that. But he's able to break it down so you have an understanding of what can help you. So he'll be here. There's different sessions from 10 to 2. No, 10 to 12, 2 to 4, 5 to 7. Okay. And you just sign up for the two-hour session. You have to go on his website, and I think it's a $15 registration fee. And he's doing it because he's got over 450 people that have been waiting for him to do this. And we happened to meet him at Costco when he was doing a Vitamix presentation. And he just moved here in November from Miami. And we just happened to be walking through the aisle, and we started talking to him. Now we talk to him every day on the phone now. Him and his wife, anyways, they were here yesterday. We got into the Holy Ghost here with another pastor. Well, the one that's on the radio, what's his name? He does the water, too. You, Inez talked. Huh? Is it Vince? He was another minister. He's on KSLR. He was here, prophesied over this church, prophesied over my life, over Inez's life. He just came to see how do we set this up, and it just took off into the Holy Ghost. So, we know that there's divine connections for a reason. And I was like, Lord, I know you're doing something, and we're just going to follow through with it. So I said, look, you can use the church, no charge, whatever you need to do, just use it. You're blessing me with my health. You're helping my wife. Hey, you can just use it. So he said, okay, we're going to do it. Well, that's fine. We'll set it all up. Now he's got people that want to come, and it's about